I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's be ready, being coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when this thing shall be. Just be ready, be and watch. Let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we now have, and then Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we now have, and then Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. I talk with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I ask for forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd only be willing. For he died on the cross just to keep me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And he holds me steadfast, and his way in his love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. and he holds me steadfast, and his way and his love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When the great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all sin.
They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the roll is called up yonder, I know I'll be there.
There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And he holds me steadfast, and his way and his love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all sin. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And he holds me steadfast, and his way and his love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And he holds me steadfast, and his way and his love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. That sounds like home
to me,
like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo in the story
as we sing of his grace and glory,
where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with his story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with his story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That Jesus and Christ sing loud and audibly, der Heil zu der selbigen Stund.
Drum
blick nur auf ihn, denn der Vater geschickt, der Heil auf ihr die Wahrheit verwundt. Sie sind der Sieg, that Jesus Christ sing loud in our blick, the heart to their selbigen Sturm. Oh, hat nicht ein Jesus getragen die Schuld, gebiset am Kreuz auch für dich. Oh, floss nicht sein Blut voller Barmen der Hund zur Erlösung für dich und für mich. Sie sind der Sieg, der Jesus am Kreuz singt laut, wenn Blick wer hat zu derselbigen Stund. Dein Weinen und deine Gebet sind nicht, wodurch du mich Gott wirst versehen. Das Blut seines Heilands befreit von Gericht, ist der mit Gnade gekränkt. Sieg sind der Sieg, der Jesus am Kreuz singen Glauben Blick, wer heilt zu der selbigen Stund. O zweifle nicht länger, o Glaubens gewiss, du hast uns sonst nichts mehr zu tun. Dein Jesus ertrat auch für dich in den Riff, in ihm kannst du seliglich ruhen. Sieg, der Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, der Heil zu der selbigen Stund. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far-off distance ring. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far-off distant strand. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far-off distant train. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land.
The greatest battle ever fought. That's what they're talking about. The battle. The battle of the mind. It's all in the mind. It's all... The battle starts in the mind and it stops in the mind. Once you made up your mind, that's what you're going to do, and that's what you're going to do. But the battle, until you can get to that place and you look at all the ins and outs and the ups and downs, and then that battle goes on in your mind. Am I willing to pay the price? Am I willing to be ostracized? Am I willing to be shunned? And that battle, it just rages in your mind, until you finally give in and you finally say, I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to stand up for truth. no matter what. But it has to be, like, you have to make up your mind. Like I know when I heard about God sending a prophet, it really wasn't that much of a battle. I saw it in the scriptures, and I didn't have to go through that thing in the mind because I've been trained. When I see it in the scriptures, I don't care. Let the chips fall where they may. And it was kind of a shortcut for me, like I say, when I heard about the prophet. I went and told everybody. Everybody knew that that I believe in that crazy belief. I believe in that crazy serpency and all that stuff. I knew that was going to happen. I didn't know the full extent of it. But I made up my mind, that's what I'm going to do. Like I say, I've been training myself. When I see it in the scripture, and I know it's true, then there is no more battle because it's a done deal. The scripture is yea and amen. And I saw the hour we're living in, and I told everybody about it. But see, until a lot of people, they just can't make up their mind, that's what they're going to do. Like this truth that we have here. We've told it to thousands and thousands of people. But instead of them going out and telling people about it, they sit down and they evaluate what it's going to cost. Are they willing to pay the price? Are they willing to bear the reproach? Well, to me, the reproach of Christ, that's where it's at. That's where the glory is at. That's where all the information is at. And that reproach of Christ, that's what you have to do. When you stand for Jesus, you're going to be reproached. You're going to be shunned. You're going to be thrown at you. Everything they can, they'll throw at you. Well, that's standard procedure. Once I got over that, I just went for it. But I know there's a lot of people, they know her too, but they sit back and, what's that guy going to say? What's he or she going to say or do if I tell him that? That's where the battle is. But once you made up your mind, that's what I'm going to do. That's it. Like Jesus in the garden, it was the battle of his mind. Can I do that? Can I go to Calvary? Can I allow myself to be mutilated? Can I do that? That was going on in the garden when he battled it in his mind. And then once he made up his mind and he saw he's got no other option, of course he did it. And he did it gladly. The journey through Calvary and all that, it was really a walk in the park. But the battle to get to that place where you have to make up your mind, that's what I'm going to do. And once he established in his heart, that's what I'm going to do, because he saw the glory that was set before him, and he just took it. And like I say, the rest was a walk in the park. But until you get to that place where you can actually make up your mind, that's what I'm going to do. I don't care what they do to me. At the end of the day, the Lord's going to be there for you. Like I say, a lot of people know what we believe. Like we told the people on our website about how these mountains came to be. You know what I'm saying? You go through these mountains, they don't mean a thing until you can actually know how they came to be. I drove through these mountains many times and I wondered, man, I live in the majesty and the might of Almighty God. But it wasn't until I found out how they got to be there that it started making sense that God, back in that prehistoric age when these angels of Jude fell, he had to create a place called hell. And then what he did, he pushed these mountains up to make a hollow inside the earth. That's exactly how they came to be. But once you know that, these mountains, they take on a different majesty and a might that almighty, all-powerful God could take these mountains and just push them up, and then there comes these mountain ranges and these canyons and these rivers and all that thing that you see when you drive through these canyons and through these mountains. If you don't know how they got there, it's just the almighty hand of God. But if you don't know how they got there, like for me, man, a living, it was quite something. But once I found out how they got to be there, they had three times the meaning, especially when I went to the Grand Canyon. I saw that. Oh, man, what a massive canyon there was. But if I didn't know how they got there, somebody told me that it's washed out with water. Well, I saw the canyon. I saw how sharp the edges are. If you're not careful, you can cut your hand on these edges of the stone. And then if it would be water, that edge would be completely smooth. But it wasn't. They were sharp stone edges and stuff. So it came by simply by this. God took that whole planet, and he pushed these mountains up. And what happens there? A canyon and a mountain and a river and all that thing that came to be. And like I say, if you can't make up your mind, I'm going to tell everybody how these mountains got there. And because they take on a different meaning, if you know what I'm trying to say. You try going through these mountains. Like I drove through these mountains and I didn't know how they got there. Man, I live. What a might and all might. What a beauty is good driving through the mountain. But once I saw and found out how they got there, it took on a different meaning. Then they became majestic. Because I saw the almighty power and the almighty hand of God, then his fury, the fury and the wrath of God when these angels and Jews fell, and he had to judge it, and he just made a place for them in hell. They're still there today, tied up.
Yeah, like you can see what great turmoil happened back there in the prehistoric hour when the angels were judged, and the Lucifer and the angels and Jude and all the concept of the angelic kingdom was judged, and God had to create a place for them, and then he created hell, and all the turmoil that happened during that time of judgment when these angels were judged and placed in that hell that God created. And now you drive through the mountains and you see the result of that turmoil, that how God can make something beautiful out of some pain and suffering.
Yeah.
And that's the same it is with our lives, that we go through pain and suffering, and in the end, God is creating a beautiful picture in our lives, some character in and structure in our lives. Like when I came to the ministry of Brother Branham, like God conditioned my heart for the serpent seed, because he put within me a strong desire to want to know what really happened in the garden, what really happened between Adam and Eve and the serpent and everything. That was my desire, and God put it in there, and then he gave me the answers to that. And nothing could change my mind on that, because, like I said, when God conditions your heart and he gives you the answer, nobody can take that away from you. The same way with water baptism in Jesus' name. I knew what that Trinity baptism did to me, the turmoil that it created in me when I was baptized in the Trinity baptism. The battle is really in the mind. Like, something I knew was not right here. But it wasn't until 7 years later, when I was introduced to the water baptism in Jesus' name, that I realized that is what I want to be baptized in, that name. And then I realized what the difference is between the Trinity baptism and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until later on that I came to have the full understanding of where that Trinity baptism all originated from. But I knew something wasn't right with it. But when it came to the ministry of Brother Jackson, and when he passed away, now there was a great battle going on there. There was the greatest turmoil, one of the greatest turmoils that I ever faced, was when all these preachers came out with their false preachings. And there was a great turmoil and confusion and going on, and I was sitting here and I didn't know what to do, because everywhere you looked, you were faced with an army, basically. In the Old Testament, it was an army. Like there's many times where the king looked up and there was the army coming from Edom, from Moab, from the Mount Seir, and all these places where the army was, they were surrounded. And he cried out to God, and the Lord told him, you know what, the battle is mine. And he said, and they eventually went out, and they took their musical instruments, and they just went out praising the Lord and with their musical instruments. And you know what, the enemy started to destroy themselves. They didn't even have to kill anybody. And but that's the battle that was back then. But now the battle is raging in our minds. And when Brother Jackson passed off and these false teaching came here, it wasn't until the Lord gave me the scriptures, like, remember the things that you have been taught and the things and who you have been taught them from. Because it's to me, that scripture becomes more real and alive today, because I can look back now and realize, you know, that's the very thing that we need to hold on to. We have something to contend for. We have something to hold on to. We were given the faith of the early church, and the enemy wanted to take that away. And once you realize what's going on, the battle in the mind, what that enemy is after, then you realize what you have, and you hold on for it for dear life, no matter what anybody says, does, or thinks about you. But you know you have it. And we know we have the truth. And no matter what people say about us, you know, that doesn't fit on us. I always say, if my standing is good with God, that is in the end what matters. If I am, my life is in a place where God is pleased, that's what matters to me. Not what people say and how they ridicule you and mock you and accuse you of things. That doesn't matter. That's what's going to happen. But once you make up that your mind that that's what you're going to do, you're going to pursue this truth, and you're not going to be deterred by what nobody says, and then that battle is not there anymore. It's just when you're walking on uncertain ground, that's when the enemy knows that he can still have a chance of rearing you away.
That's the thing, like you were saying, when Brother Jackson left the scene, we thought it's going to be business as usual, mm-hmm. and here he's barely in the ground, and Allah comes out with we're in the third day. We looked at that, and oh man, a man we trusted, a man that's supposed to continue on where Brother Jackson left off, and here we're in the third day. Well, you and I, we went to the scriptures and we saw that's not true, and we couldn't go on that. We couldn't go on that ship. We had to jump off that ship, and we had to go back to the scripture, go back to the thing, like you were saying, go back to the things that we had been taught. We had not been taught that we're in eternity. We had not been taught that the lake of fire is in the center of it. All these teachings came out. Well, what we did, we separated ourselves from all that junk. And we just completely began to do our own thing here. And we can see when we look back now, it's exactly what the Lord wanted us. But if you would really get thinking about it, you really had to fight in the battle. But for me, it was kind of easy. Well, like I say, I've trained myself. If you see it in the scriptures, I got no problem. I don't care how much they persecute me and how much they hate me and how much lies they tell about me. I know if my standing is right between me and the Lord, who cares what they throw at you? At the end of the day, the Lord will always be there for me, and that's all I cared about. But that if you can get to yourself to a place, I know, like I say, there's a lot of people that hear it. There's a lot of people that listen, and they come up to a brick wall because they're afraid what that Hutterite diabolical system will do to them once they find out they believe what you and I are saying, and then they completely distance themselves. That preacher can preach whatever he wants. I don't care what he preaches, because what he preaches is instituted from Satan, that preacher that all I call it. I don't care. I don't hate the people, but I see the spirit behind it. That's why I get worked up, because of that spirit that has these people caged up and bonded. And what they do, what the devil does, is intimidation and fear mongering. If you as much as listen to say, you're going to be ousted, you're going to be shunned, we're going to throw everything at you. And that's what the devil used, intimidation, fear mongering, all these things. But I saw that, I just went right through that granite wall, and I didn't care, because I knew at the end of the day, it's just a bluff, that they can't do nothing, because Satan is defeated, and all the devil can do is fear monger you and try to intimidate you with his intimidation thing. And I just, all you got to do, if you're afraid of what they'll do to you, then the devil cripples you. You can't move on. Like I say, there's a lot of people that know what we told them how these mountains got there. But will they tell the people? Will they go out and tell them? No, they won't, because they're intimidated by what that preacher will do to them. And then they keep it to themselves, and they cannot inspire the other people to really enjoy these mountains and these canyons and these rivers and all that beauty that's out there. simply because, and they don't tell the people simply because they're intimidated by these preachers, by the spirit, that spirit that's behind it. It's not, that preacher doesn't know what he's doing, but Satan has them so intoxicated and brainwashed that if you say anything that Sam and Lorraine say, you will be shunned, you will be put in the house, like we keep saying.
But see, you and I, we already know, we're not afraid of what people do to us.
Yeah.
We have made up our mind. Mm-hmm. When we see it in the scripture, we know it to be the truth. We don't care, and we put out a lot of stuff that if the government would get after us, they could pinch us for hate speech and all that, because we're telling the truth, and we don't care what they do to us, because let the chips fall into me. At the end of the day, it's all going to come out, and God will be the winner. All these things that's going on now with that Charlie Kirk got assassinated, and now all the world is worked up about it. But see, when I heard about it, it just came to me, you know, a sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing. God knew that they're going to assassinate him. God knew that what they're going to do to him. And when I heard about it, of course I was troubled, because I liked the guy. He was a powerhouse to the world. He sat down and he debated with these people, trying to steer them in the right direction. And it's, I don't know how many years he was doing that, maybe 20 years. But in all of that, he got a youth. He got a people that believe in him, that believe what he's doing. If it wasn't for that work that he did, the world would go into chaos, and they wouldn't even know the hour and time we're living in. But see, what happened is, he debated with these people, and finally he got them convinced that this is the right thing to do. It's God, it's Jesus, it's family, and the structures that he put down, and he did, refused to allow himself to be intimidated. He was fearless. He was a powerhouse. Fearless powerhouse. And now he's gone, and now all these people that believed in him, they're going to, like I seen it the other day, he showed up here and I was reading all the comments, and he showed up, and it seems like he wanted me to speak up for him. You just tell people what's actually going on out there. And now, what I saw, he's 10 times more alive now than he ever was, because now all these people that believe him, they go out there and they tell everybody. That's going to create that civil war, because it's not between left and right anymore. It's between good and evil. It's between Satan and truth. That's all it is. Satan, he likes to deceive people, and it's all about truth. But to go out there and tell people that, and let people know where you stand, all of a sudden people coming out and they decide to go to church. Well, between you and me, that's the worst place. They can go to these churches because Satan has infiltrated these churches. And these churches, they're the problem, what's going on in America today and around the world, because the prophet to the age, he brought water baptism and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the churches, and they rejected it because God knew that that is a foundational principle. Go back to water baptism. Send us back to the Word of God. That's why that God sent that prophet. You can read it over in Malachi. And he sent us that prophet to do what? To turn us back to the apostolic faith of our fathers. And the apostolic faith, our father, the foundation of it is what? Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan, 300 years later, he infiltrated and he brought in his carbon copy, his diabolical propaganda with water baptism from the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's a satanic baptism, and all these churches out there, they're polluted with it, and Satan has a stronghold on them. He uses that blackmail, and they just cannot get their freedom. They can't get their funding from Satan's baptism. And now these people, they figure we start going to church, and now they're all going to church, and they're going right back into Satan's arms, because, like I say, these churches are infiltrated with Satan. They have evolved into, they have become a cage and a hole of every foul and hateful bird. But see, you and I, we've made up our mind, that's what we're going to do, and we don't allow ourselves to be intimidated. Would to God all these people would believe what we're saying, and because if they can only get themselves and their mind to go out there, never mind, let the chips fall over me, and tell the people what we're telling them here, then they would be, like it says,
the righteous shall shine like the stars forever and ever. The only righteousness that you have in this hour is to tell people the message for your day. It's always been, when you go through biblical history, only thing that matters is to believe the message for your hour, for your time frame that you're living in, just like we keep saying over and over again. Abram believed God because that was the righteousness for his hour, and God looked at him as righteousness because when God spoke to him, he moved and he went out and sought that city. And that at the end of the day, when the eulogy was read, it was rightly reckoned unto him for righteousness because he believed God. And here's the same thing we believe when I heard that God sent the prophet. I didn't care. I just went right straight through. God sent a prophet, because I knew it was the truth. And then when the Lord brought me to Raven M. Jackson, I left all these Benhamites in the dust, and I went and told everybody, now it's Raven M. Jackson. He is now the message for our day. He is that righteousness for our day. And I just followed it, because as long as my standing is good with the Lord, I don't care what people say to or take. And then when Brother Jackson goes off the scene, the Lord takes it. And then as time went on, we realized the Lord is on you and I to continue with that program that he started back in the first chapter of Revelation, when John turned around and he saw the seven stars. The seven stars are simply the seven angels that God's going to use throughout the grace age, throughout 2,000 years of grace, and he's going to use these seven stars to make sure that the church throughout the 2,000 years ago stays within the confines of what these seven stars is. And we're right now at the very tail end. We're the last frontier. We're the last pilgrim. And when you were telling people an escape route, come and drink out of the waters of life freely. That's why we don't charge nobody. That's why we refuse to take tithe. When somebody sends us their money, we send it right back to them, because it has to be free. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. And like I say, some people do try to send us money. We send it right back because we don't want their money. If you take their money, you're kind of obligated to these people these people that send you the money, like Trump. Qatar, he give him a 747 jet. Now he's kind of obligated, no matter how crooked and how corrupt they are, he's kind of obligated to do their bidding. And that's what these rich people, these Qataris, they got into the universities. Now these universities have to teach the people what Qatar wants them taught. That's why they got into America, into the school system, into these young people, and now God raised up that Charlie Kirk to combat all these forces. But you see, it's all in the mind. It's all a battle in the mind, and once you overcome that battle in your mind, you're off to the races, and just because that's the only weapon that the devil had: intimidation, fear-mongering, and a bluff. It's all just a bluff.
That's all it is. Like, I remember a time when I went through something, I felt like, at the time where Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee and there was big waves and a storm come, and the disciples were scared, and Jesus just said, "Peace, be still." It's when you make up your mind, this is what you're going to do. Like, I'm going to use the Bible for my roadmap. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the storm was still. Mm-hmm. And that's how fast that storm can be stilled, is when you make up your mind, this is what I'm going to do. Like, when I made up my mind, I am not going to listen to these preachers anymore, because they are bringing in false teaching. And then my vision started to become clear again. I'm just going to remember the things that I've been taught and who I've been taught it from, and stay away from these false teaching. And then the devil can't rage a war in your mind, because you've made up your mind. It's when you don't, when you're intimidated, you're scared, and you don't want to rock the boat, that's when the battle rages, and it's mm-hmm. able to, the devil is able to create turmoil in your life. But when you're not intimidated, you're bold, and you stand for the truth of God's word and what God allows you to see, then you're on a roll.
I remember back when, before Brother Jackson passed away, he had to deal with some very tough things. he had to deal with that Tim McKay, and then he had to deal with Ralph Strome, and then I was in contact with Ralph Strome. I would talk to him on the phone. I would phone him up sometimes, and then when all this happens, there's two sides of the story. He is Ralph Strome with his side of the story, and he is Brother Jackson with his side of the story. And I was caught between a terrible conflict because I didn't want this turmoil. I wanted everything to be in harmony and unity. But it's obvious here, Ralph Strome had his opinion, and here's Brother Jackson. And I
remember going to Winnipeg. In my mind, I couldn't sleep that night because I got an email the night before from Ralph Strome, and he more or less accused Brother Jackson from making these things up. And, oh, man, there was a turmoil in my mind, and I couldn't sleep. And then the next day I went to Winnipeg, and this rage kept on raging in my mind, like the devil was pulling me direct into the arms of Ralph Sibb to believe that lie that he perpetrated and told Brother and tried to downplay what Brother Jackson told him. And I had to stop, right, roll down my window, and I had to step beside the road, and I just opened my window. I refuse to believe anything that Ralph Strome is. If there's two lying at all, I believe Brother Jackson is right, even though I don't see it, but I believe he is that man that God sent. He is that boy, not Ralph Strome, and he's just a carbon copy. And Brother, I have to believe what Brother Jackson said. And I tell you, talk about peace that passes all understanding, just kept flooding in that car, because now that battle had been raging all day for about 24 hours in my mind, and now all of a sudden, peace be still. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I found that peace back, that joy unspeakable, full of glory, simply because I made up my mind. That is exactly what I'm going to do. I don't believe that Ralph Strome. And to this day, he's out there spreading his garbage, and people believe it. They open the pulpit to him and think he's a good guy. But he's nothing but a troublemaker. Just that simple. And I saw it right from my very... I had that feeling. I had that joy unspeakable come over me, because all of a sudden I put everything right in its rightful place. Brother Raymond M. Jackson was the continuation from that angelic voice. Mm-hmm. Take it or leave it, because I know it's the truth.
Mm-hmm. It is the truth. You was that voice, Brother M. Jackson. The evidence is there. Who is Ralph Strome? Nothing but a thief. Nothing but a disgrace. And then Tim Relaford lets him into his pulpit, and that whole mess is, that's what I felt when I was sitting here and I was listening to these preachers. My picture was murky. It was cloudy. I couldn't see anymore. And that's the state that these people are in. They've got murky waters, their vision is cloudy, and they can't see anymore. And they're blind leading the blind, and they're all leading them astray, and that's what's happening.
It's actually out the darkest for mm-hmm. them. It's, when you look at it, you can't even listen to them anymore, because it's really cast them into outer darkness. They have no compass, they got nothing, mm-hmm. simply because they allowed these people in, and God only knows where they're going to end up, because I don't want no part of them.
Mm-hmm. No, I had to. We really had to make up our minds. We are not going to listen to these false teachings. And then that's where the peace comes from, then, is when you withdraw from them. And that's the scripture that the Lord gave me, to withdraw from these false mm-hmm. Teachings that do not hold on to the doctrines that we have been taught. We weren't taught that we're in the third day. We weren't taught that we're after 2 days in a season of time. That's not even biblical. We're in a season of time. We know what Brother Jackson meant by that season of time. It was a season for when the Holocaust Jews to the where these two witnesses will be killed and the remnant of the Jews. It just plays a part in the Grace Age and in the week of Daniel, where that season takes place. And it's not a time in itself. It's just a season. And these people, they use these things to rear people astray. And they because they're prominent people that people look up to, that they can lure people away, they can deceive them.
Right now there's a big thing on the internet. I go on the internet sometimes and see what's out there in the spirit world, you know, in the religious world, in the so-called preacher world. And now they got people all worked up because the rapture is going to come on September the 25th. Well, I keep saying it'll come and go just like everything else because no man knows the day or the hour. But I got the stabilized word of God that that rapture cannot happen, and I keep saying it over and over again until these two witnesses are killed in Israel, and these two witnesses, Ben-Gavir and the Smotrich, they're the only two people that'll stand up to the post of duty, and they'll tell the people exactly they're solid, and what's going to happen as time goes on. That Pope knows these two people, they're upsetting his plan that he has for Israel, and they're standing up to the post, and they're holding back all these forces, and they're the only two people that have the backbone not to compromise, not to keep, and before you know it, one of these days, they'll be found dead in the streets of Jerusalem because they're standing up to all this confusion that's out there, and then after 3.5 days, they'll be resurrected, and they'll just go up to heaven. And until that happens, there can be no rapture. Because that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen before September 25th. Time will go on, and it's until these two prophets are killed. We got that thing established. We don't believe nothing. And I could say it over and over again. I thought it's going to happen by my birthday, because... But I also said it cannot happen until these prophets are killed. And well, they're not killed yet, so the rapture cannot happen. So you can go back and rest assured, and you can relax until you see these two prophets laying on the streets of Jerusalem, and then after 3.5 days, you'll see them resurrected, because by the Scripture. The Scriptures was written before the foundation of the world, and it's all in sequence. That's the next thing that's on God's agenda. It's the killing of those two prophets, these two witnesses. It's just a prophet is not some guy coming down the road with a staff like in the days of Moses. He's just somebody that has enough backbone to stand for the truth that was given to the day and hour we're living in. And these two people, they go up to that Temple Mount. They don't care what world opinion is. They go up to the Temple Mount and pray, and that whole world is all worked up about it. But they don't care. They just go ahead and do it anyway because they know it's the right thing to do. They're not allowed to be intimidated by nothing. Like I say, don't be intimidated by the churches out there telling you. That rapture will not come until you see these two witnesses resurrected and then go up to heaven. And then any time after that, a week, a day, a month, who knows? But now any time after that, that rapture is imminent. Mm-hmm. You want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we know the hour and the time we're living in, Lord. We see everything in your word, Lord. The signs are all around us, Lord. And we know that your coming is not too far off. But we also know that we don't know the day and hour that time will come. But we know that the season is on where that can happen. Because we're in the week of Daniel, and these things are all transpiring right before our eyes, Lord. But most of importantly, Lord, we just want to be ready for that day. So we just pray that you'll give us the grace and to prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord, and our lives so that we can be ready and waiting for the day that you're going to appear. Just like the song says, just be watching, be ready. And that's all we can do, Lord. So we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.